Your home for classic hits. AM 1570, 96.9, and Boone 102.7 FM. WILO, Frankfort, Lebanon, Delphi.
When it comes to keeping your car running right, trust the team that's got your back. Big O Tires. Located on State Road 39 in Lebanon, Big O does it all. Oil changes, alignments, tire rotations, brakes, and more. Whether you're prepping for a road trip or just tackling that overdue maintenance, the certified technicians at Big O Tires will get the job done right the first time. Check them out on Facebook for exclusive deals and updates. Next time your vehicle needs a little love, head over to Big O Tires in Lebanon and talk to manager Lauren and owner Alan. Big O Tires is the team you trust.
People ask a lot of questions about Ivy Tech Community College. Like, can an Ivy Tech degree get me a good career? Well, some say good, and some say great. In 2 years or less, you can earn an associate degree or certificate, qualifying you for some of Indiana's fastest-growing career fields, and earning you an average of $37,777 the first year after graduation. Find your answers at ivytech.edu/FAQ. Then apply for free at ivytech.edu.
Looking for an enclosed trailer that works as hard as you do? Check out the Homesteader lineup at TC Trailers. Perfect for moving, camping gear, or hauling mowers and motorcycles, a car hauler, or race trailer. Homesteader trailers deliver quality at a great price. Choose the Challenger with its flat front and rounded roof, or the Intrepid featuring a sleek V-nose design. Find your perfect trailer at TC Trailers, just east of Frankfort, or online at tc-trailers.com. If you're not pulling a TC trailer, you're not pulling your weight.
Hi, I'm Jenny, the manager over at your Big Deals online store. Did you know that when you shop locally, 83 cents of that dollar stays in town? Local businesses are the lifeblood of our community, and that's why you should shop your Big Deals online store. Dozens of gift certificates to local businesses, all in one convenient place. And best of all, they never expire.
Just click on the Big Deals tab at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, BooneCountyDailyNews.com, or CarrollCountyDailyNews.com.
Looking for free local news that actually feels local? From breaking news and weather alerts to sports, community events, obituaries, photos, and more, your free hometown connection is just a click away with Clinton County, Boone County, and CarrollCountyDailyNews.com. Whether you're catching up from your phone at work, your tablet at home, or scrolling on the go, our three daily news websites keep you connected to the stories happening where you live. Check out the community calendars, local sports coverage, Hoosier Land TV, WILO archives, features, and even fun games like crosswords and Sudoku. Plus, with updated features and easy navigation, finding the information you need has never been easier. And did I mention? It's free. Local news, local sports, local people. Updated every day. Visit ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, BooneCountyDailyNews.com, and CarrollCountyDailyNews.com today.
Party Line on WILO and Boone's Best 102.7 is made possible by TC Trailers. If you're not pulling a TC trailer, you're not pulling your weight. Ivy Tech Community College, changing lives. Big O Tires in Lebanon, big deals. Save money now and 24/7 at WeLoveBigDeals.com. And your free local news source, Clinton, Carroll, or BooneCountyDailyNews.com. The Party Line online telecast on HoosierLandTV.com is brought to you by 51 West Event Center, The Farmers Bank, Shoup's Country Foods, Culligan, Water of Boone and Clinton County, Day and Ginda Funeral Home, Solidarity Community Federal Credit Union, Sam I Am Carpet Cleaning, Big O Tires in Lebanon, Arbor Wood by Shoup's, Welty Exteriors, Newell Gas, Wesley Manor Retirement Community, Stone Alley Hardware and Industrial Supply, Jerry's Body Shop, Community Foundation serving Carroll, Clinton, and Howard Counties, Simplify Family Dental, Tornado Roofing, Siding, and Gutters, Witham Health Services, Ellis Jewelers, Marshan's Window Tinting, Avery Home Store, VFW Post 1110 in Frankfort, Copper Electric Services, LLC, Braden Business Systems, Lanen's Furniture and Mattress, and Mann Chevrolet GMC in Delphi.
And welcome back to Party Line on this Tuesday, hot Tuesday, the last day of June 2026. We have a heat advisory, extreme heat warning, hazard weather conditions for the next couple of days. Please be careful. 92 for high today with a heat index of 101, 92 for tomorrow, looking about the same for Thursday. So please just be careful. Stay hydrated and stay safe out there. Okay, we're going to come back. Oh, by the way, WeLoveBigDeals.com. Don't forget about Sweet Salvation Bakery in Delphi. You're hot and you need to cool down. $3, $5 gift certificates are available for just $3 right now. So you can get WeLoveBigDeals.com, WeLoveBigDeals.com. $3, get $5 gift certificates. That'll help you cool off for sure. It's a hot deal, but it's some good, good stuff. Okay. All right, back to the discussion. I've got Kyle Etherington and Charlie Bookwalter. Charlie's in studio. Kyle is up on a lake enjoying a Michigan storm or two, whatever. It's more like the heat up there, Kyle. So, but you got
my inner tube is still holding out, so all is well. All is well.
I just picture you in an inner tube, sipping a Long Island tea or something up there with your like Aloha shirt on and just enjoying the beauty of Michigan. So, but
I would never drink any type of Long Island iced tea. You know that.
I know. Hey,
wink, wink, nod, nod.
I get you. I get you, brother. Hey, no, you probably got some Sam Adams or something going on. So, but
hey, I plead the fifth.
Okay. Hey, I just kind of going back to what we were discussing right before, and Charlie and I were talking a little offline about you mentioned cruel and unusual punishment. And the difference of how men have changed. And, yeah, I would agree that there are some things that we have looked at and evaluated and said, that's probably a little extreme. But I would also say that there are things that if we just left to man's imagination are just the deception of men's hearts, we're probably not going to get right when it comes to what God says about it. And I think that those pastors that we're talking about, the Jonathan Edwards, if you go back to John Calvin, and again, these are pre-revolution days, but some of those sermons and their sermon notes, some of their prayers, all led. And then when I think about 29 of the 56 signers went to seminary, to me, that's a pretty bold fact.
Yeah, and as we said, Shan, that it's not just any seminary. It's not just what you might think of seminary today. The seminary was the highest level of education for a lot of these men. Harvard was established to teach theologians, Stanford. Yeah, all the higher learning was established. That was their primary focus, was to understand theology, and then additional studies came on board, studying different languages and all these other things. But the primary focus was to glorify God and train pastors.
Were most people illiterate? I mean, and maybe this is a question for Kyle, since you're an educator. Were most people illiterate back in those days?
Well, it kind of depends on your family wealth, because if you were struggling financially and you were basically a subsistence farmer in Massachusetts, you would have your daily prayers, you would have your reading of the family Bible, and then you would work up from sunup to sundown. That's what John Adams did throughout a lot of the summers, working in the manure and getting down and dirty in the dirt. But if you were someone like Thomas Jefferson, who grew up with the advantages... Yeah, exactly. If you grew up with those advantages, you had those opportunities available to you. But then you have Ben Franklin, who establishes the concept that learning, or getting learned, as my grandmother used to say, is not just for the wealthy. It should be for everybody. So you have young people in Franklin's group called the Junto, who would gather and debate in local taverns in their own individual locales, and they would set up learning societies. They would set up the first public colleges that were not exactly just for the concept of religion, but they start looking at the concept of science. They start looking at other things that are more worldly. So it's kind of like, I've got a strong connection to Indiana University, and that's through my father, but the problem was, I don't have as strong a connection to Indiana basketball the way my father does, because 1987 was the last time IU won a national championship. Well, I was in diapers then, so I can't really identify with it. So you have a strong background of religion, and it really influences those thinkers and those believers. But then you also have the worldly things that make them have their attention distracted by that as well, too. Sometimes for good and sometimes for bad, as you've said.
Yeah, the distractions, I think, is what we're kind of, I think that's probably what I'm most concerned about as a grandpa and now as a great-grandpa. You know, have we allowed ourselves to be distracted from the main thing, which I think our founding fathers recognized and realized that the main thing is that you've got to have morality, you've got to have clarity in your life. And to your point, when you're saying that back in those early days, that there was introspection, people were looking inwardly and saying, oh, you know what, I could be bad. And I got to be good. I got to change my ways.
Yeah, that was one of their biggest messages, is that humans are depraved and fallen.
Yeah.
I think that there's not as much difference as we might think today as you know, back then. There's always the distractions, and now it just happens to be a digital or a phone or whatever. But back then, even young boys were distracted with things other than learning. It really came down to... was the parent someone that wanted to enforce some kind of learning for their children or not? And when they did, they typically – I think of someone like Alexander Campbell, who was came to America in the early 1806 or something like that, and started the Reformation movement. But when he was in Ireland and when he was studying at university, they weren't wealthy. He was smart. His dad, Thomas Campbell, was here in America, was very adamant about him becoming educated. And a lot of these young seminarians took side jobs, as educating young people is as their side job. So it really came down to the parents all over the world. Were they interested in having educated children or not? And Alexander Campbell back in the early 19th century was teaching girls and boys, and it didn't matter. It's just like, and I see the similar thing today. There's parents that don't really encourage that,
right,
and there are parents that do encourage education.
And I greatly appreciate people like Kyle, who's teaching our kids history, that knows the history, that are teaching our kids history, and I appreciate that. Along those lines, Kyle, I know you mentioned you got the Hoosier connection because of Indiana University, but not necessarily what your dad went through celebrating the 1987 national championship in basketball, which they ended up, I think they ended up beating LSU to get there, if I remember right. I know they got beat in 1981, the Tigers did, but by IU, Bobby Knight. But so I left us dangling a little bit before the break. Who was your favorite a person that you believe, or maybe you believe, the most influential person that brought us to this thing called freedom and liberty today?
Oh, I'd be remiss if I didn't say that my father always said that the national semifinal game between IU and the UNLV was a much better game than Indiana-Syracuse in 1987. But that's another thing entirely. Yeah. He'd come down from the heavens and smack me in the back of the head if I didn't say that. But I think, and I'm not being compensated, even though if the movie makers would love to do so, I'd most certainly appreciate the tip in the tip jar, if you will, but I would have to go with George Washington for the simple fact of you have all of this occurring, and then you have one international incident involving George Washington that sets off the French and Indian War, which later leads to the American Revolution, which later leads to the Washington presidency. And that's one thing that I encourage a lot of moviegoers to enjoy whenever they get the opportunity, this movie Young Washington.
Yeah.
Because I think they're going to do a really good job of illustrating just what George Washington had to go through in order to become the general and then later the president. Because when George was very, very young, he did not get that opportunity to go off to and be learned, just because his father died and he became head of the household when he was very, very young. So I would have to say, when it comes to the confluence of events that set up our later American history, it's got to be George Washington.
Yeah, and I would encourage people to, that is out, that movie is out now in theaters, Young Washington. So check out where you can. I hear it's a fantastic movie. I'm definitely going to go see it. I want to watch that. To me, just the story of being shot that so many times, and the Indian chief goes, okay, there's something about this dude, because we've been putting bullets in him all day and he's not dropping. So
And it was always Providence when it came to Washington. Yeah. He always thought that Providence would lead him through, sometimes for good, and in the case of New York City, sometimes for worse.
Yeah, yeah, and he admitted that, certainly. And when you asked that question, you didn't ask me, Shan, but I was just sitting there thinking about it.
I still got time.
I know. I'll input it anyway. But I was thinking Washington, too, as we talked about him in one of the first few shows, just because seeing how all of his predecessors took that power and continued it, and everyone after him, they continue in the power. They can't release power. They just can't release. Look at Congress today. They just can't release the reins of power, and he did it twice.
Yeah.
And it's just so impressive, and it set the standard.
The humility.
Yeah. And I said that's one of the greatest – when that surgeon one time asked me what's so great about America, a foreign surgeon – I told him it was because of the example of what George Washington did at the time. I probably, and now, it's God's providence, but certainly leading George Washington. But I would also be remiss, and it's an opportunity to bring this up, that if you talk about an entire group, it would be the topic of today, the Black Robe Regiment.
The Black Robe Regiment. That's what I was going to go with, in the sense that it was not necessarily one individual, but it was a group of people. And I go back to that again, I believe you have to have a moral fiber. I believe you got to have direction and clarity. People that are great leaders have followers because they have clarity of vision and mission. And when John Adams stood, and Kyle and I talked about this the other day, when John Adams stood in Declaration Hall and the Continental Congress and stood there on July 1st. First man up. I mean, the first one to speak up and say, we've got to fight this battle, and knowing that he's going to face treason, knowing that King George is coming after him. But it was way before that there were men that were taking off their black robes at the pulpit saying, guys, gals, we are in a spiritual battle for liberty and freedom. We've come here for that. Do we just simply surrender it because it's too hard, or do we fight for it?
Yeah, they were fighting the battle. That's why, some of these people were famous before the Revolution, and the Revolution even made them more well-known. But they were fighting these things well before, and they are who established these principles that the founders then implemented into our Declaration and our Constitution. And so they deserve a lot of that a lot of that credit.
Yeah, Kyle, is that in the history books? I mean, you're a history teacher. Do they teach about the Black Robe Regiment?
We try to teach as much about the individual contributions as possible. We've got state standards that the state government sets, and that's one thing why I always tell my kids. It's like, hey, if you don't like your education, you better vote, and you better encourage your state reps and your state senators to take an active role in that. But we try to focus as much as possible on as many individuals for the kids, because it is amazing to hear the stories that jump out with Washington not just giving up power of the presidency, but giving up power of the military, quashing a possible march on Congress after the Battle of Yorktown was concluded because the soldiers were so upset that they hadn't given their pay. And Washington stands up amongst this possible military coup, overthrow of the government, and he stands up and he gives a speech to a lot of these senior officers that are wanting to lead this, and it goes over like a lead balloon. And then he, in kind of a moment of
humility,
non-planning, and humility as well, too, he pulls out a letter and says, I have a letter I would like to read to you. And he starts playing trombone with it. He can't exactly focus the eyes. And he gets some eyeglasses out and he says, forgive me, I have gone blind in the service of my country. Mm-hmm. And that makes every single person in the room start to break down and realize that he, along with them, had suffered as well. He had been through it all. He had gone through the same things that they had gone through, and when he finally does give up his commission, he submits a few bills to pay off of expenses, but he relinquishes power when he really could have been king for life if he wanted to, and went back to his farm in Mount Vernon, because he considered the concept of citizen to be so much more powerful than the concept of king, so to speak.
He was a second Cincinnatus. We talked about that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I go back to Africa. Africa had the opportunity way back in the 40s or 50s. I think it was right after World War II. They had the opportunity. They had a continental congress, if you will. They brought all of these countries together in one place, and I think there was 13 countries on the continent of Africa. And they came because they wanted to be like America. They wanted to be the United States of Africa, which, if you look at the resources that Africa has, I mean, the iron ore, the gold, the water, I mean, they have every part. That whole continent is full of resources. They all came together, and they decided that they would create a constitution and that they would form this United States of Africa. But the last day of the convening, the question was asked, friends, we've come here today as presidents and kings. When you sign this declaration, we will leave as governors. And they dropped the pens. Nobody could give up the power.
Well, that was the problem during World War II that FDR ran into with Churchill a little bit, because he said, if we are going to liberate Europe, then we are going to have to break the bonds of all of our colonial possessions, Winston. Yeah. And Churchill didn't like that too much. You know, granted, it was probably a little bit past his noontime brandy and everything, but
and cigar.
It's very difficult to kind of be able to understand when is the appropriate time to exit, when is it the appropriate time to leave. You think back to Richard Nixon and Watergate. Mm. You know, would a Richard Nixon have done what Washington did and willingly given up power? And that's something that I always like to ask just to people in passing, just because I always find it fascinating to see what people come up with. But Washington established the precedent of giving up power, and it played a huge role in American life and in American politics ever since.
And I would declare that he did that because of his relationship with God. I believe that he had a firm belief in God, and saying and denying yourself and coming to that self-service and being serving others and crucifying the flesh. I want to share, because we're getting close on time, it's hard to believe that this gets so quick, we go so quickly on all of this, but I want to bring up another one of those ministers that ended up becoming the father of Methodism, Francis Asbury, which is, you know, Asbury College is named after. This guy, you're talking about self-denial, 250,000 miles on horseback, over 7 trips back from Massachusetts down to Georgia, along the eastern coast, preaching the gospel on a regular basis, and drawing crowds of 20 and 30,000 people at a time, and a tremendous orator, Francis Asbury. And of course, this is pre-revolution. This, you know, we're talking 20, 30 years prior, 10 to 30 years prior to the revolution. He's setting these things up, but he's preaching the gospel. He's talking about liberty. He's talking about self-denial. He's talking about all of these things. He's talking about that inward inspection. But the thing that I wanted to tie into Indiana a little bit is that there was a guy that was a kind of a follower of Francis Asbury, and I would say more of a peer, a guy by the name of Black Harry. Do you know about Black Harry, Kyle?
Preach, my friend, preach.
Well, I think about Black Harry, an illiterate guy, never learned how to read, who had a photographic memory, because he would listen to, people would read to him, and he would go out and recite it. Francis Asbury said about Black Harry that Black Harry, which was a black man, why I'm saying Black Harry, he was a black man, and he, Francis Asbury said, if you really want to hear a good orator, oh, by the way, he's got more crowds than me in preaching, So 30, 40,000 people are following him, listening to him. You need to go listen to Harry.
Yeah. What was Black Harry's last name?
Hoosier.
Yeah, Hoosier or Hoosier or whatever, however they pronounce it.
Hoosier. It was Hoosier. Hoosier. Yeah. It was Hoosier. Harry Hoosier. And many people believe that that's where we get the name Hoosiers. The reason being is that what I think is so fascinating about Harry Hoosier, this black preacher, that he spoke to the pubs. He went to the taverns. He went to the pubs. He was going out the Great Commission. He was sharing Christ to all these woodsmen. He would go out in the woods and preach, and all this fun, there would be dozens of people listening to him. And he was dealing with the roughnecks. And these people ended up migrating west, and many of them ended up in Ohio and Indiana and Illinois. And what happened was that in Indiana, these groups of people were coming, and it stuck that, who are these people? Why are these are hardworking people. They're kind of roughneck. They're a little bit of they're blue collar, but man, they get it done. And they said, oh, these are the folks that, but they're religious. They were
the Protestant work ethic.
They were Protestant work ethic.
You say roughneck, I say cousin.
I say redneck, I say brother.
I was gonna say, when I say brother, I mean it absolutely literally when it comes to roughneck. But you have it this kind of this rebellious spirit from the beginning of the founding of the colonies, and then they start pushing westward and trying to establish their own concepts of what actually is a godly miracle, what exactly is the best way to go to church, if you will. And it's kind of the equivalent of someone saying, oh, those kids and their darn music nowadays, because you have people going to those places that aren't churches, that aren't cathedrals. They're going to the woods. They're going to that lake with that non-alcoholic beverage in hand in the inner tube, if you will, and preaching the gospel. So even those big crowds, many people looked at it and thought, oh my gosh, can you believe that they are singing? How disgusting, revolting.
Yeah,
you know,
there were religious people
like
that, absolutely. I totally agree. I think that's why, that to me, I love Indiana, the greatest state in the Union, because that's some of our origin, that I really believe we were born out of that mindset of hard work, and we love freedom and we love liberty, but we're not going to make, you know, we're just going to go out and do our thing, and we're going to work out the working Protestant.
I think this is why, I know we're wrapping up, I just want to make this, hit this one home, is like, that's why I think Heritage America and Heritage Indiana is worth preserving. I think that's why the Black Robe Regiment and Black Harry was so important, because God blessed this nation, because we were doing the right thing and going the right direction. It's just really incredible that you could say Judeo-Christian nation, that people say Israel is a Jewish nation, that people say these Middle Eastern countries are what? What nations are they? They're Muslim nations. Mm-hmm. But God forbid you say America
is a Christian nation.
Is a Christian nation. Like, you can't say that. And I just, like, how can you say on one hand that Israel is a Jewish nation and these nations are Muslim nations, but we don't have a Christian nation?
Well, I pray that we've been able to, I mean, again, and what I love about having you guys on here is that you're studiers, you're students of history, and you understand that when you really dive deep, you cannot escape our the value system, the moral clarity that our forefathers had, based upon Judeo-Christian values and the Holy Bible, the Scripture.
The Holy Bible. And sola scriptura.
Yeah, and I believe that. So what brings me to the segue, and one of the reasons I brought up Black Harry, because we're going to segue into this for Thursday, if you guys can join me. I think one of the biggest dividers of this country has been race. And I want to talk about the black Americans that we don't talk about in history, that we don't talk about. That gets me a little frustrated. That we always talk about, they're just a bunch of white men in the picture. Well, there's reasons for that, and we can talk about that, because it was the culture of the time. That'll be for Thursday. But I want to leave you on this note. Let's just think about this. Let's just say for a minute that that many of us that believe this, that Harry Hoosier is the namesake, the Hoosier namesake for Indiana. We're called Hoosiers here in Indiana. Isn't it ironic that the birthplace of the Ku Klux Klan is named after a black illiterate man? I think God's got a sense of humor.
Amen.
I think he does. Kyle, brother?
Gentlemen.
Yeah. Hey, you.
For homework, yeah. Frederick Douglass's.
Oh, yeah.
Autobiography.
Yeah.
Read it.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Yeah.
Enjoy it.
It's some good stuff. And, I think the more we talk about this thing, the more we unify, because we may have difference of opinions, but at the end of the day, we're all men. We're mere men. We're mere men in the hands of God. And I pray not an angry God, but Jonathan Edwards said it was an angry God. So, all right, Kyle, enjoy the inner tube, brother. Don't float too far away, okay?
I will try not to. Stay okay. Cool, everybody.
All right, talk to you soon. Kyle Edwards joining us today on this discussion. Also, Charles Bookwalter in studio. Greatly appreciate Charles. Thank you for coming in.
Yes,
I know
sir,
you got a busy time, and this has been a lot of fun. So we're going to talk more about this stuff on Thursday as we wrap things up. July 2nd, July 4th is coming up Saturday, folks. Don't ever take for granted the freedom and liberty that we have in this great country. Hey, the Europeans are coming over. They realize it. They're starting to understand it. They're starting to grasp it. Praise God, other people are starting to see it, and that we've been lied to for so long by the media, by which I stand and sit behind this mic, prayerfully a voice of truth. Prayerfully a voice of truth. Because I get so frustrated with all of the lies that are spouted in this country through media. But praise God for Casper Media, because I do believe it's fair and balanced. And, you know, that's my opinion. So, here we go. All right, have a great one. Be courageous and stay obedient. We'll talk to you soon.